Morning. Today's daf in Bamasia is Pei Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lonezech and Shmas Lupin Gavela Bashmuel. We are starting today with the Mishnah on Pei Beis Amud Beis. Mishnah starts off Amavir Chavis Memakom Memakom. So you are entrusted to watch a jug of somebody else, and you're moving it from one place to another, Vishavra, and it breaks. And to be quite honest, you tripped. So you trip and it broke, and that's not good. But according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, whether you are a Shomer Sacher or whether you're a Shomer Chinam, so you make a Shavua, and that you weren't Poshea, and you will be Potter. That is, from the standpoint of a Shomer Chinam, understandable. A Shomer Chinam who is only going to be Chayev in Ones, sorry, and only going to be Chayev, let me correct that, is only going to be Chayev in Pshia, so that's perfectly it's perfectly reasonable. So we're going to make the argument over here that you weren't Poshea, and therefore you're going to be Potter. Shomer Sacher is a little bit harder to understand. So the Shomer Sacher is going to be responsible, and he's chayv in Geneva Ve'aveda. So be fair to argue over here that he's going to be chayv as well. But the Tanakhama in our Mishnah says he's not going to be chayv. He'll make a shvur and he'll be potter. So obviously that needs explanation. We're going to explain that. Rabbi Lazar Amar Zevazeh Yishava. So Rabbi Lazar says that that both are going to be making a shvur. But to me, ani mecholim Zevazeh Yishava. He says, but the truth of the matter is, I'm tamua. I'm wondering. And I'm not really sure how that works, how they're both going to make a shvuah. So he's just incredulous that this is in fact the halacha, but he has a tradition that this is in fact the halacha. Or at least that's the way he's received it. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Hamav yechavaz chaver memakom lemakom v'shavra. Bein shom achen and bein shom asach yishav v'div Reb Meir. So we now know that the sheet expressed to us in the Mishnah, B'shem Tanakama, meaning anonymously, is now the Shita of Rabbi Meir, which makes perfect sense. The Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shamachinam Yishavan Asisach Yishalem. And Rabbi Yehuda makes a split. And Shamachinam will make a Shvua that he wasn't negligent, and then he will be exempt, but the Shamachinam is going to have to pay. And then Rabbi Eleazar Omer Zevezeh Yishavah. V'tami ani michol mzevel lezel Yishavah. And then the Mishnah brings in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now, in our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Elazar. In the Braisa we just read, it's Rabbi Eliezer.
The Mishnah also says
Rabbi Eliezer, but it's right. And the correction on the side is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Just from a chronology standpoint, from a Masorah standpoint, it makes much more sense to say Rabbi Elazar as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah, Rabbi Eliezer was earlier, an earlier Tana. So, and over here, if we're quoting Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda were the last of the Tanaim. Anyway. So, Lememer Desav Rabbi Meir Nitakala Poshehu. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's now break this down. So we know what everyone says. Let's see if we can understand why. So it sounds like from Rabbi Meir's standpoint, so you tripped, and that's not negligence. It's not an act of negligence. You have to say that. In other words, that's what happened. What happens is you tripped and you're going to be exempt. So you have to say that tripping is not an act of negligence. Tanya. The Gemara says, okay, but let's go back to what we learned some time ago. We did this back in Baba Kama, and that is Nishbar Kadav Lo Silku. Let's say your jug broke in the Rishus Arabim. You didn't clean it up. Nafla Gamalo, Velo Hemido, your camel fell, and you didn't pick it up. Rabbi Meir Mechayev Behizekan. So any damage that is incurred from your tripping in the Rishus Arabim, meaning someone's behind you and trips over your jug, which broke because you tripped, or tripped over your camel because it tripped. Rabbi Meir over there in the Gemara in Baba Kama says that you're going to be chai for any damages. And the Chachamim put this more in the category of grama. So bidine adam. So in terms of the court, you're not going to be liable, but ethically, morally, it's the right thing to do. It's to pay.
And here, it's negligent because you're going to clean up.
The Kaimalan de Mitaka Pashaya Pligi. Now, the Gemara Baba Kama over there has a bit of a discussion, but the Gemara already also there has a conclusion. What's the Nakuda Machlokas over there between Rameh and the Chachamim? Whether or not we say tripping is considered Pshia. Is that considered an act of negligence? Meaning, like we said back in Baba Kama, meaning I could hear argue either way. Meaning you tripped. Was that your fault? Okay, you can argue. Meaning, one argument is, no, it was an accident. The other argument is, no, you should look where you're going. So the Gemara over there brings down a machlokas, how we view tripping. And it happens to be that Rameir over there is of the opinion that tripping is considered a pshia. And so now we try to bring it back to our discussion. Our discussion is regarding a custodian who was asked to watch a jug. And he picked it and he moved it from one place to another and he tripped and it broke. So, l'chora, we should have Rav Meir saying that you're chayiv because it's an act of Shia. And you should be chayiv both by a Shomer Sachar and by a Shomer Chinam. So that now becomes a problem. Meaning, it seems to be inconsistent, Rav Meir here in the Gemara Bava Metzia and Rav Meir back in Bava Kamma. So the Gemara is going to give two basic approaches to how to deal with this. The first one is not a pretty approach. Amar Rav Elazar Tavra. Rav Elazar says what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to break it. Break it meaning Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. You're right. In other words, we're just going to have to live with the inconsistency. Someone reported Rav Meir back in Bava Kamma holding that tripping is considered Pshia. And someone told us Rabbi Meir here in Bava Metzia that tripping is not considered Pshia. And yes, it's inconsistent within the sheet of Rav Meir, but Tavra. Okay, we're gonna have to split it. Okay, Vaser of Yehuda Meimar. Now, within this discussion, now, so fine. So we're leaving the Gemara's Bava Kamma Bava Metzia apart from one another. We have no way to resolve the discrepancy between the two. But now we're gonna learn the rest of our sugya based on just Bava Metzia alone, leaving Bava Kamma out of it. So now that we know that according to Rabbi Meir, tripping is considered onis, it's an act that was beyond your control. Okay, it wasn't your fault. And so therefore you're going to be potter both by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Sachar. So along comes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lamemer Shomer Chinam Yishava, Nosei Sachar Yishalim. Haiki Dina Mahaiki Dina. And Rabbi Yehuda is here to tell you that the law is that by Shomer Chinam you're going to be potter by onis. But the law is that by Shomer Sachar you have more liability. You're Chayv Gneva Ve'Aveda. And Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that this tripping is more akin to Gneva Ve'Aveda. You're held to a higher level of Shmira. And so therefore you're going to be liable. Ve'asa Rabbi Elazar LeMeimar in Gemara K'Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Elazar says, look, I have a tradition like Rabbi Meir. I heard like Rabbi Meir. But he's just incredulous. I can't imagine that both of them are going to make a shua. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, here's where I understand, here's what I don't understand. A Shomachina makes a Shavua fine, because his Shavua is that he wasn't Poshea, and he wasn't. But a Shomer Sachar, and your paid watchman, so how's that Shavua going to work? Even if you weren't Poshea, you're still going to have to pay. And v'afilu shomachinam nami. And even if you're shomachinam, hatenech b'makam adron, I can understand how falling and slipping would be not considered an act of negligence if it was on an incline. And you slipped and you fell and, you know, you missed a step or, you know, the ground wasn't level. So then I can understand how that's an accident. But shalom b'makam adron mimas mishabed lo pasha. But if you're walking on flat ground, holding somebody's barrel, and so therefore it's a question of putting one foot in front of the other on level ground, that's something which you should have been careful about. And by you not being careful about that, that really does fall under the category of Poshea. And we'll go even one step further, top of Pegim Omen Aleph. Ve'afil b'makam adronami. And even if it's an incline, that's all this is true, that you can make a shvu and exempt yourself when nobody was watching. But if there are people that are watching, raya, ri'iya, as we'll see, it's the same thing. But if there are people that are watching, Nasi Raya Niftar. So then you have to bring the witnesses, and then and only then you're going to be putted. Detanya Isi Ben Yehuda, Omer. The Gemara quotes a drasha in the name of Isi Ben Yehuda. Ein ro'er shavus Hashem tiyah ben shneihem. The fact is that you were entrusted to watch something happened, and the Torah describes Ein ro'er, nobody saw it. And Isi Ben Yehuda makes the following drasha. That means that your shavua is only entitled, you're only entitled to a shavua when nobody saw. But if somebody saw, so then you can't even make a shvu under those circumstances. You have to bring the witnesses. So hayesh roa yavi raivi patir. So then you bring witnesses, and then you'll be patir. So just basically, the Gemara just fleshes out the kasha of Rabbi Elazar. It simply doesn't make sense How can you make a shvuah? If you're a shomer sachar, I certainly don't understand how you can make a shvuah, meaning you have a higher level of responsibility. You're chayving neva v'aveda. What's your shvuah going to sound like? And even if you're a shomer chinam, there still are a lot of stumbling blocks. Say here, pun intended. There still are a lot of stumbling blocks in terms of making your shvuah. It has to be not flat ground. It has to be on an incline where it's an ones, a tripping on an incline. It has to be where there were no witnesses. So even to get to the point by shomer chinam where you can make a shvuah to pat yourself, that's hard to understand. Okay. Adkan. Okay, so that takes us all through round one. So what do we have so far? We have a mission that tells us that if you're moving a barrel from one place to another, according to Rabbi Meir, whether you're a Shomer Chinam, whether you're a Shomer Sacher, you're going to make a Shvuah, and that's it, and be done with it. And what about the fact that our Mishnah and Shitas Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah is inconsistent with the Shita of Rabbi Meir of Baba Kama? So the Gemara says Tavra. So our first approach of the Gemara is, all right, we're just going to have to live with the inconsistency. We don't have a good way to explain it. Okay, that is all Mahalach number one, and that was brought to us by the Amora of Rebbe Lazar, not to be confused with the Tana Rebbe Lazar, who we just cited. Okay, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and Rashi tells us now that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is going to give us a second approach, meaning he's going back to the original Kasha. We have a Mishnah here in Bava Metzia, we have a Mishnah in Bava Kama, and obviously they are inconsistent with one another. Our Mishnah over here says that tripping presumably is not an act of negligence, and Rabbi Meir in the Gemara in Bava Kama, in the Mishnah in Bava Kama, says that tripping is an act of negligence. And so how do you make the two positions consistent? So our first approach is you don't. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba now, and our second position is going to say, no, you do. You can make him consistent. How so? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, Shvuah Zu Tekanas Chachamim Hi. Now, a special Tekana was made by the Chachamim that allows for the Shomer to make a Shvuah. Meaning, normally tripping is considered an act of negligence. You should be more careful when you're walking. Right, especially when you're Rishus HaRabim, that's per the Gemara Baba Kama, and you tripped and you fell, and now you made a mess in the Rishus HaRabim, and people are going to step on it, and all that falls under the category of Pshia. It's negligence, and you're going to be liable. Okay, and that's Rav Meir in the Gemara Baba Kama. But now we're talking about a Shomer. And the truth of the matter is the rule should be the same. Meaning if you are entrusted to watch something, you pick it up, and you move, and you trip, and it falls. So you're a poshia, and you should be liable. And that should be true for both a shomer sachar and even a shomer chinam. All that should be true. What the Gemara now is telling us is that Rav Meir for the shomer provides an extra enactment, a takanas chachamim, which allows him to pick an item up and move it. Because, consider, if every time you pick up the item as a shomer, and you move it, and you realize, wait one second, no, I'm not going to touch it, because if I pick it up and I trip and I break it, so that I'm going to be held liable, thank you, but no thank you. And no one's going to want to be a shomer. So therefore, the Chachamim provided a special takana, a small amount of immunity, to protect him from tripping. Even though Remeir's normal shita is that it's poshea, but we give the shomer a little courtesy. So I'm Rav Yochanan Shvuah.
He didn't move it on his own. He was told to move it. It's not like he was given to God, and then all of a sudden he decides to move the thing from there. I think it was. Well, the Mishnah is talking about where he was.
You'll see.
He was told to move it by the guy who gave him.
Well, we'll see.
Let's see.
The Gemara is going to spell this out. So, Shvuah Zu Tekanas Chachamim Mishim Atar Amarkein Ein Lecha Adam Amavir Chavis Lechavero Mimakom Amakom. Because if we don't give this extra courtesy to the Shomer, so no one's going to want to move a barrel from one place to another. So, Heichim Ishtaba. So the Gemara says, okay. So now let's spell this out. So, what exactly are you going to be making within the Shvuah? So, Amarav Shvuah Shalom Bekavana Shavarti. So the Shvuah is going to be this was unintentional. Meaning, yeah, it's true. I picked it up and I tripped, and yes, tripping is considered negligent. And normally, for the in the halachas of Mazik and Baba Kama, so you're going to be chayev. But over here, again, a special courtesy was given out to the shomer, and his shvu is going to be it was just simply unintentional. I didn't mean to break it. Yes, I tripped. Yes, that's normally negligent. But under these circumstances, he's going to be exempt. And so therefore now everything's resolved. The shittas of Rabbi Meir are no longer not aligned with one another. Rav Meir has a general shita, and the general shita is of Rav Meir is expressed in Baba Kama, and over here a courtesy to the Shomer. The Asar of Yehuda LeMeimer. Now we're going to do the same thing again, meaning now that we've explained the shita of Rav Meir, so then we're going to explain in the Brisa of the shita of Rav Yehuda and the Tmiya of Rav Elazar. So I'm going to go through this quickly, as all this now becomes a repeat of what we already done. Asar of Yehuda LeMeimer Shomer Chinam Yishav Nosei Sachar Yishalem Haikadinim Haikadinei. Rav Yehuda says the Shomer Chinam makes a shvua. The Shomer Sachar does not make a shvua, cannot make a shvua, and is therefore obligated to pay. Vasar Rav Elazar LeMeimer in Gemara Kerav Meir. Rav Elazar says that yes, the tradition falls like Rav Meir. But I just don't understand how they're both going to make a shvua. Shomachinam, fine. He wasn't negligent. Fine. But the Shomer Sachar, how is he going to make a shvua? Even if he wasn't negligent, he's still going to be liable to pay. And what if it's not an incline? Meaning Rav Meir shita that chipping is considered an accident, a total accident, it's only on an incline. But if it's flat ground and you tripped over nothing, you tripped over, the carpet monster, the floor monster. In other words, that's pshia. That's definitely pshia. But hechadik araya neisiv raivi pater. And even if it was a madron, even if it was an incline, and even though tripping itself was not an act of pshia, but still, if there are witnesses, you need to bring the witnesses according to Yisi ben Yehuda. Period. Okay, so it's the same explanation for Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar. The only thing that changed in this version is our understanding of Rav Meir, in that Rav Meir normally holds that tripping is considered pshia as per the Gemara Baba Kama, but over here a special courtesy extended to the Shomer so that he'll feel more comfortable picking it up and moving the barrel as is per needed for the barrel. However, Mavir Chavita de Chamra Beristaka de Mechuza. Okay, a couple stories to finish up the parak. So there was once an incident where a person was transporting a barrel of wine in the market of Mechuza, Vitabra Beziza. And there was a beam protruding from one of the stores in the street, and so a barrel made contact with the beam, and it broke, and the barrel broke. So the mechuza asa alakame de Rava amarle. So it goes to Rava for a ruling, and he says to him, "Ristaka the mechuza shchichei ba'inshi." So Rava says, "Well, you have a problem, because there was a lot of people walking through the street, and so therefore there were definitely witnesses, and so now you want an exemption zul isi raivi pater." So now you're going to have to bring the witnesses in. Meaning, he subscribes to the opinion of Isi ben Yehuda, that your only exemption and your ability to make a shvua is only when there were no witnesses. But once there are witnesses, you have to bring the witnesses in. So Rava says, you're going to have to bring in witnesses. Amale Rav Yosef Bere Kaman Ki Isi. So Rav Yosef, who's sitting by his father, learning and watching his father adjudicate. So he turns to his father and he says, wow. Well, I remember learning. That's the opinion of Isi ben Yehuda. So are we following the opinion of Isi ben Yehuda? Samarle in, ki Isi v'sriel and kevasein. And the father tells the son, Rav says to Rav Yosef, yeah, that's right. And that's a halach l'maisa. Meaning, right, in other words, we're learning all the time. But, you know, in terms of watching what the actual halach is, maisa rav. So you watch the judge practice the law, and you'll see how things are done, how the halacha is paskin. Another story. A person says to his friend, go buy for me 400 barrels of wine. So he buys it. So and he says, look, I bought 400 barrels of wine. At the time when I bought them, they were wine. I did everything I was supposed to. And now it's soured. But after I purchased them, not before I purchased them. Yeah, it's a big loss. Also, come to Rava, Amalei, Arba me'adani chamra tekife. And so, once again, Rava is the judge in this case. And 400 barrels of wine go bad. Kala isla lamilsa. So Rava says this could not have happened without witnesses. It's too big a deal. So zil icy ride the mikar kimizam to luchamra ma'al yehuvi yipater. There has to be people who know that when you made the purchase of wine, it was wine when you purchased it, and the souring only occurred afterwards, not beforehand. And so, bring me the witnesses. There has to be. So amrei Rav Yosef Bray, keman kisi. So amrei in kisi usfir lan kavasei. Now, if both of these stories are accurate, which I assume they are, so I don't understand the son's question a second time. Meaning the first time I understand. Do we pass like Isi? And the dad says, yeah, we do. And the second story, you know, Nachamol. Do we pass like Isi? And the father says, yes, we do. So I'm not sure what was encoded in the son's question the second time around. Okay, maybe he thought the first case was just an exceptional case, whatever. I don't know. Itkin Rav Chiya bar Yosef b'sichra. Okay, Rav Chiya bar Yosef established the following financial law in the town of Sichra. Hani didar ba'agra. So there were people who were carrying two barrels. They were using some sort of stick that was balanced on the shoulders in order to carry the two barrels. The itbar, and in the event that the barrels break, Nishal and Paga, you pay half damages. Now, we know Chatzi Nezik, but we know Chatzi Nezik by your animal goring. Or doing anything which is unusual, unnatural. So under those circumstances, you pay Chatzi Nezik. We discussed this at length back in Baba Kama. But this is really not that. Meaning, over here, we're talking about a person damaging. Adamu la'olam. When a person does damages, he's going to be liable. Your two options when it comes to a person doing damages is either you don't pay or you do pay. It's unusual. And it's so unusual, I mean, I'll rack my head, and I'll try to think of another time where we say Chatzi Nezik by a person. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. But again, that doesn't mean anything. Just simply means I don't remember. But it just all I'm highlighting right now, it is unusual that you have this idea that you're going to be paying for half the damages when you were responsible. Now, my time, so the Gemara here gives an explanation. You see, this particular balancing act of carrying the two barrels with a stick balanced on your shoulders. So the truth of the matter is, you should not have done it as one person. But at the same time, however, you didn't need two people for the job. So you needed 1.5 people to carry it. Now there's no such thing, and that leads us to the pshara, to the compromise. The Gemara describes it as being too much for one person, but not enough for two people. So therefore, it's karav la'ones v'karav l'pshia. It's somewhere in between ones and posheya, the fact that it broke. And so therefore, so he established that under these circumstances, in the event of breakage, compromise. You only pay for half. Bedigla mishalim kula. Now, if you're using a kind of lifting tool called a digla. Now, Rashi describes it, and I read the Rashi a number of times. I kind of have a visual picture of it, but I don't fully get it. Anyway, all I know, you have a picture? No? Okay, nobody has. I don't have a picture. It's some sort of balancing tool that allows you to carry two barrels. So, and here, it's way too heavy for one person. So you should have had two people carry it. The fact that it broke now, so that's going to hold you to be wholly liable. Rabbi Bar Chanan Tavale Hanu Shkulai Chavita Dechamra. Rabbi Bar Chanan, or Rabbi Bar Chana, we just spoke about him the other day. So had these people caring for him, and they broke a barrel of wine, and so they needed to pay for the barrels that they broke. So Shakal Iglimayu. So he took the shirts off their back, and as we'll see in just a moment, they were very poor. They didn't have much money, and so therefore, for them to reimburse the damage that they done, so it was literally the shirts off their back. Also, Amalei LeRav, so Amalei Havlu LeGlimayhu. So Rav heard about this, and Rav says to Rabbi Bar Chana, give him back their shirts. Amalei Dina Hachi, so Rabbi Bar Chana says, yeah, but they broke my wine. They should be held financially liable. So I'm supposed to give it back to them. So Amalei In. So Rav says, yeah, that's what you do. You give it back to them. Laman telech b'derech tovim. So you have to go b'derech tovim. And you have to be a good person. So in other words, yeah, they do owe you the money, but they don't have money. They don't really have money. Hence, you're taking the shirt off the back. So you know what? You don't take the shirt off the back. give the shirt back to them. Yavle glimayhu. Okay, so Rav told him to give the shirt back, so he gave the shirt back. Amrle aniye anan v'tarchina kula yoma v'kafinan v'leis lan midi. And now they turn to Rav and they say, okay, now we'd like to get paid. Meaning, you know, we worked for you. Granted, we didn't do the best job. Granted, we broke your wine. Granted, we should be liable for that. But okay, but we're past that. Okay, you gave us the shirts back. We appreciate it. Now we'd like to get paid for the job that we did. So, and they said, and we're starving, and we don't have anything. So Amrle zil hava grayhu. So once again, Rav turns to Rabbi Bar Bar Chanan. He says to them, okay, now go pay them. Okay, go pay them. Amrle dina achi. So he says, what? That, really? That's the law? Meaning I pay them for a job that they did poorly? So Amrle in. So once again, Rav says, yes, for archot tzadikim tishmor. You should be a tzaddik. Meaning, as opposed to previously, we talked about being a tov. Being a tov is just simply, don't take money from them. Now you want to be a tzaddik, okay, now you're going to give them money. Money they may not necessarily be entitled to, but okay, that's part of being a tzaddik. Hajjan lachasokhar sa'umnin, and that is the end of the sixth parak of Bar Metzia. That went rather quickly, which understandably it's very short. Okay. We start the seventh parak of Baba Kama. Seventh parak of Baba Kama. Sorry, why am I saying Baba Kama? Yeah, I know. I was thinking about Rabbi Meir and okay. Anyway, correction. We're learning Baba Metzia. Okay. We start the seventh parak now. We are starting more on Schira, on hiring workers. Okay, that was the topic of the sixth parak. That will be the topic of the seventh parak. But if you could just flip through the first number of pages of the seventh parak, you will see. You can just tell by the way the daf looks. We're going to be treated to some agarata. Tomorrow's paid dalet, which again is not a smart comment. It's just an obvious comment. Tomorrow's daf is paid dalet. Tomorrow is the daf, meaning the story that we hear again and again about Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that comes up in tomorrow's daf. Okay, come again tomorrow. Okay, we start with the Mishnah. Hasochas apoalim. You hire workers v'amalam lashkim alariv. And you are hiring them for the day, meaning it's a day labor. And you say, come early, leave late, and morning till night. So Malcolm was in, so now, what time do they have to punch in? What time do they get to punch out? The answer is very simple to this question. Minhag HaMakom. Meaning that various communities have different minhagim in terms of when the day starts and when the day ends. Right? You live in New York and you're not saying daf at 7 a.m., you're saying daf at 5 a.m. And just everything starts early over there. Here, in the southern part of the nation, okay, things start a little bit later. So everything really depends on minhag hamakom. And Tosfos points out also, the only Tosfos on the Samud, and Tosfos points out also that we're talking about where there was nothing communicated clearly between employer and employee. If employer says that the workday starts at a certain time, so that's it. Your contract did start at that time. So we are talking about, says Tosfos, where there was no stated, communicated time in terms of which time he has to come in, which time he has to come out. And under those circumstances, we're going to be following minhag hamakom. So, and the Mishnah is going to express this again and again. Hasochas apolim v'amalam lashkim alariv. So you hire the workers and you say, come early and leave late. Makam shenagu lo lashkim v'shal alariv v'en v'shal l'kofan. Now, if the minhag hamakom is not to come in early and stay until late, so then you follow the minhag hamakom. Makam shenagu lo azon yizon. If the minhag hamakom is that you provide your workers food, so then you provide them food. The sapek of mimesika yisapek akol kiminhag medina. If you give them sweets, so then you have to provide them sweets. Everything follows the minhag hamakom. Ma'aser Rav Yochanan memaskei shamalev no sei schor lanu poalim. Now, if you remember the story, we did the story back in the fifth parak of the Masechta. Rav Yochanan ben Masya told his son to go hire workers. Halachu pasuk lemezonos. So he hired workers, and then he also agreed that you're not only going to work for us, but you're going to be treated to an unbelievable lunch. Now he goes back to his dad. Amar lo bani. So dad says to his son, this is where your inexperience is showing. You should not have made that promise of giving them lunch. Even if we would have provided a meal fit for Shlomo HaMelech, you would have not fulfilled our, we would not have fulfilled our obligation. They are the children of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, which parenthetically, and the Gemara is going to make this observation, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov ate better than Shlomo HaMelech. But that's actually coming up later. El Ashelo Yeschil b'Mlachet Seva Amor Lahem Amenashe Ein Lachem Alai El Pas Kitnis Pas Ukitnis Bavad. You're going to go back to them. This is before they started working. You're going to go back to them, and you're going to rework the contract, the labor contract with them, and you're going to tell them carbs and only carbs, and that's all you have to expect. No proteins. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Hayatzarich Lomer Hakol Kiminag Medina. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it wasn't necessary because everything follows the minag, and the minag is going to dictate what they're going to eat and what they're not going to eat. Okay. The Gemara starts off Pshita. The Mishnah seems to be making an obvious point, which is that everything follows the minag. So the Gemara says Lo tzricha d'tafalei agrayu. The Gemara says no. Here's the chiddush, and it is a chiddush. Let's say the employer offers them pay more than what is normally paid for that day. So now, could the employer not say, look, I'm giving you a little bit of extra money. I think now I can expect you to come a little bit earlier, stay a little bit later. He says to them, I gave you more money. It's so that you come earlier and that you stay later. So even though there is a clear minhag ha'makom in terms of what the hours of labor are for these day laborers, if I'm paying you more, can't that be, even though we didn't expressly state this, but can't there be a tacit understanding between you and I that you're going to be coming a little bit earlier and staying a little bit later? So kamash walan damrelay. So no. The Gemara says that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. No, the fact that they're getting paid a little bit more, and this wasn't specified that they're coming earlier and staying later, so the paying more is going to be is going to be paid back in quality, not quantity. So, and that's what they get to say back to him. Hi de tafat lan adaita davdin lach avidata shapirta. We're going to work for you. It's going to be beautiful. The quality of work is going to be better. Amrei Shlakish. Pei gimel amud beis. Pol bich nisaso mishlo b'yitziyaso mishel b'ahabayis. Now we talked about waking up early and going home late when you're a day laborer. So when you are machnis, now here it's a little bit flipped in terms of at least what I expected. Machnis means to go home. So Paul bechnisa, so when he's going home, mishalo. So that is that's going to be his own time. Meaning, Rashi. Sarach levater mishalo etzel ba'abayis lahachshech etzlo. So in terms of going home, you have to wait till nightfall. Meaning you can't start making the journey back home until it's actual night. Mishal balab, I'm sorry, be it CSO, but when going to work, so Mishal balabayis. That's the boss's time. But here, boss's time, not like we colloquially say in English, but it means that the boss is going to have to give up that time. So you don't have to start walking to work at dawn. You can wait till nights in order to start walking to work. And again, all this is when there's no clear communication between employer and employee. So basically, you're working the day. You could start a little bit later. A little bit later meaning you could start going to work at nights, but you have to wait till nighttime in order to come home. And the Gemara is going to say psukim in order to make the case that this is the schedule of the worker. A psukim that we're familiar with, we say it every Rosh Chodesh. Shenamar, the pasuk in Tehillim says, Tizrach Hashemesh ye asfun, the el me'on nasam yirbatsun. Yatsa adon polo lavadoso ade arev. Okay. And Rashi explains, if you take a look at the third line of Rashi, Hachayos elal mineksiv tashes choshech v'yilayla bosir moskol chayso yar tizrach hashemesh. So you see that the schedule of the animals is that the animals are waiting, hiding, ready to ambush, but only until the sun rises. Once the sun rises, usamechle yatzah adon lapaolo. Then the worker goes out to work. So following the psukim in the 104th parak of Tehillim, so we have an idea of what the schedule should be for the day worker. So the Gemara says, V'lech zehechanegi. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again, all this is really nice, but what about minug? Meaning the Mishnah told us that the day follows whatever the minug amakum is. So why would we need the psukim in Tehillim to tell us what to do? We learned in the Mishnah, minug. Minug is going to dictate when you go to work. So the Gemara says, Be'ir Chadasha. Gemara says it's a brand new city. So the Gemara says, "Venechli mehechakasi." So the Gemara says, "Okay, well, where are people coming from?" In other words, the minhag should follow wherever the people are coming from; they'll take their minhag with them. So the Gemara says, "Binikuta ai." Gemara could have just as written Boca Raton for all that matter. Where are they all coming from? All over the place. Rashi, shenithlaktum imikamos harbe. They're coming from all over. V'yesh makam shemakdimim, v'yesh makam shemechashkin, v'leik alamitzmach ela adaraisa. So now that they're coming from all over the place, so there's no established minug, and so therefore we follow the psukim. Or where the employer does make a clear communication and he says, "I'd like to follow the path of the Torah," meaning the schedule of the Torah, Torah schedule, Pasuk schedule. So, and that is what we just described.
What about davening?
Yeah, right? The halachic man thinks about these things. It's good. It's very good. So in terms of davening, so I guess you're davening shachris before nates. I'm guessing, by the way. And then you take a break from mincha. I don't know. I do know the seventh parak of Brachos talks about how your benching has to be shortened.
Right.
Right. Right. You knew that as well.
In the last days before the cycle begins, address this very issue and say, on the 17th of Kislev, that if you have a worker, if you are a worker, and you cannot get to Minyan, you are actually connected to the repetition of the Amidah, and
the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah talks about the Amsha Basados, the people out in the field. Okay. Darish Rabbi Zeir Vamile Tani Rav Yosef Maidich Siv. What does the pasuk say? So, here we go. We are this. I don't know if I could call this the beginning of the Agadah, but it really pretty much is. As now the Gemara is going to treat us to, we're going to weave in and out of mostly Agadah, a little bit of halacha, but I'd say mostly Agadah. So we start off with the following: Tani Rav Yosef. It was according to some versions, it was taught by a brisa of Rav Yosef. Tashet Choshech Vayilayla Bosimos Kochayso Yaar. And now what we're going to do is we're going to break up the pasuk and darshan. Tashet Choshech Vayilayla. Right, the night comes and it's night, which obviously is a redundancy, meaning that's usually what happens when it gets dark. It's Laila. So Zeh Olam Hazeh. So the Gemara says that it's a reference to this world. The Shedoma Lelaila, it's similar to the night. Bosimos Kochaiso Ya'ar. And what are you going to find? You're going to find wild animals in the forest. Eilu Rishayim Shabo. Shedom L'mechai Shabiyan. And that's a reference to the Rishayim, who are similar to the animals of the forest. Tizrach Hashem Shiasev Yeasfun. Ve'el Ma'on Asam Yir Batsun. So now the Gemara Darshan is this part of the Pasuk. Tizrach Hashem Shal Tzadikim. The sun is going to rise for the Tzadikim. Yeasfun. Rishayim L'Gehenim. And in terms of the collection, and that's going to be, the Rishayim are going to be sent to Gehenim. Ve'el Ma'on Asam Yir Batsun. Ein L'chal Kol Tzadik V'tzadik She'en L'chal Mador L'fik V'odo. And people are going to go to their ma'on. The ma'on is their place. What does that mean, their place? Meaning every tzaddik is going to have madur lefi kvodo. He's going to have an apartment, some dwelling, some lodging in Olam Haba, fit for his kavod. Yatza id adam lepo'alo. The pasuk goes on, and the Gemara is going to continue darshaning. The person is going to go out to work. Yatza tzaddikim lekabos karam. And again, within the context of this drush, so it's a reference to the tzaddikim are going to be receiving the reward. Ula avadaso ade arev, and the work until the evening. But Misha Ishlam avadaso ade arev, it's talking about a person who works until the evening. Rashi says that he continues to be a tzaddik ad yomoso, until the day of his death. Okay. From here until the end of today's daf, one string of Agadita, and specifically regarding Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ashkach Lahu Paraguna, Dekatav is Ganavi. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ran into the Paraguna. I guess we'll call him for our purposes today, the district attorney. Okay, and his job, catch robbers. So Amalei Hechi Yechatlahu Lav Kechayusa Matile. So first, Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon strikes up a conversation with them and asks them, you know, how do you even catch them? Meaning the pasuk describes them as being wild animals, like we've been, and you see the segue between the previous Gemara and this Gemara. So we saw that the pasuk describes them as being chayos asada, they're like animals. How do you even catch them? Dichsibo timosko chayso yar. The pasuk in Tehillim that we've been going through describes them as being animals. Iged amre ma'ikra kamrele. Or there's another pasuk. Ya'arov b'mistar ka'aryeh b'suko. Ambushing, hidden and waiting an ambush like a lion. So how do you even catch him? And now, truth be told, by the way, that he didn't even wait for an answer on this question. He just moved right to the next question. Okay. And Dilma shakalta tzaddik v'shavakta rishi. So, and maybe what's going to happen is you're getting the wrong guy. Meaning that basically what he's accusing the DA of doing is basically locking people up. Now, when I say lock people up, we're going to see later on, they do more than lock them up. Meaning the punishment is going to be very serious for the thief. So and he says, and maybe you're catching the wrong guy. In other words, it may be a tzaddik, and it's not going to be a rasha. Amar lei, so the DA says, umay avid. Well, what do you want me to do? Harmana de malkahu. I was appointed by the king. I got to do this. Okay, so I don't have a choice in the matter. King told me to do this. So you're right. Not everyone I catch is going to be a rasha. Okay, part of the pitfalls of the job. But I'm under orders, so I have to do it. So Amar Ta Agmari Hechitavid. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon now gives his opinion, advice in terms of how to make sure that the person that he catches is really a rasha and not a tzaddik. All Barishal Lachanusa. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go into the store in the fourth hour of the day. Fourth hour of the day is when people are eating breakfast. Minhag back then was to have two meals a day, a late breakfast and an early supper. Okay, we have three meals a day, and today in America we do more than that. But okay, that's that's editorial. That doesn't belong here. So the first meal of the day occurs in the fourth hour. If you remember, Gemara talks about various people have different schedules in terms of when they have their first meal. Talmud Chacham has the first meal at the sixth hour of the day. Okay, late breakfast. But anyway, so you'll go to the store and you'll see people eating breakfast in the fourth hour of the day. Now they're going to be drinking wine. Now, back then, remember, that was the drink, meaning you drank wine. So that in of itself is not strange. And they're holding the cup in their hand, but they're exhausted. So now, you got to wonder, why are they exhausted now at basically 10 a.m.? How do you explain that exhaustion? So they were up all night, meaning that part's easy. They didn't get enough sleep. But the Gemara says, but now, do a little bit of investigation on why didn't they get enough sleep. Sholi lave. So now here's your investigation. So in terms of a Talmud Chacham, so you're fine. Meaning what he did is he woke up early in the morning, before sunrise, before dawn, while it was still dark, and he was learning. So the fact that he's exhausted by 10 a.m., okay, so good. So in other words, so check that box and then move on. Now, Ipolhu, but let's say he's a day worker. So Kadim Kavid Avidate, so again, I understand why he's exhausted. So again, he woke up early, went to work. He's been working now for 4 hours already. So again, understand why he's exhausted. Now let's say he's a craftsman. So if it's a craftsman, so then he was also working the night. We didn't hear him banging a hammer in the middle of the night. Redude redid. So what he was doing was he was working with metal, stretching metal into needles. Rashi gives a description, elaborate description. But basically, it's possible. It is plausible. It's a good alibi that he could have been working quietly the whole night, this craftsman. So you have basically three boxes to check from. One, he's a Talmud Chacham, so therefore he's been learning for a long time now, by 10 a.m. Two, he's a Shechir Yom, also been working for some time. Three, he's a craftsman, also working over the course of the night. So you have any one of those three boxes. Now, if you haven't checked off any of those three boxes, so then there's a fourth box to check, and that is he's a Ganav. Okay. Yes. So ve'ilo ganavahu v'tafse. Otherwise, he's got to be a ganav, meaning he was up the whole night. What else are you doing up the whole night? You're waiting in ambush. Rashi says you're tunneling into people's homes. you are, in other words, that's got to be the option. So by process of elimination, so he says that'll be your test. Now, Ishama Milsa Beimalka. So now, the advice of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon got popular, and it got around back to the king. And the king heard this Amru, and they said, Kraina de Igarta, Ihu Lehave Parvanka. The reader of the letter, so he's the one who should go carry it out. So in other words, he gives good advice. You know what? He should become the DA. And now Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon was hired to be the district attorney of the king. And now it became his job to capture the Ganavim. I would suggest maybe the first lesson to learn from today's Agadita is right. Is maybe you may have advice to give. Not all the time you should be giving it. Okay, but anyway. Shachle Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. So now Rav Yeshua ben Karcha hears about Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon becoming now the district attorney for the king, locking people up, and again, as we'll see later on, it's more than that. But basically capturing the Ganavim, and he is incensed, meaning Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is angry. And you can hear that just by the first words that he says, Chometz ben Yayin, you are vinegar, the son of wine. Okay, obviously not a pleasant way to describe him. Rashi writes, Rasha ben Sadik. Okay, very strong language in terms of how he's describing Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. But again, when you're Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, so you could speak like that to him. So, Ad Masai Tamoser, Am Moshe Lalakin Lariga. What you're doing is basically you're a Moser. In other words, you're giving over Jews to the government, to the non-Jewish government. And they're going to kill them. You are a Moser. Now, back in Baba Kama, we talked about being Moser Mama, just giving up money. All right, the story with Rav Kahana. Over here, it's worse. You're giving up Jewish people for execution. So, Shalach Lei, so Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says in response, Kotzim ani mechala min akerem. Well, I'm taking the thorns out of the vineyard. Meaning, okay, maybe true. They right, the people, some of the people I may capture are Jews, but the truth of the matter is that they're Jewish bandits. And basically what I'm doing is I'm picking the thorns out of the vineyard. That's his defense. Shalach Lei, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha says that's not your job. Yavo Bal HaKerem Vayichal Es Kotzav. Well, let the owner of the vineyard take the thorns out of the vineyard. And it's not your job. And right, Rashi spells it out as if it wasn't evident. Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's his job to pick the thorns out. It's not your job. Yumachad Paga Be'ahu Kovis. One day, now again, did he take the advice of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha? Seemingly not. Seemingly, one day he comes along a Kovis, a cleaner, dry cleaner, and Karyeh and the dry cleaner turns to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon and says, Chometz ben Yayin, you are vinegar son of wine. So basically he borrowed a line from Yeshua ben Karcha. But again, if you're Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, you could talk like that to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, but the launderer, okay, that's not the appropriate way to be for him to be using against Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Amar. Now Rav Elazar Rav Shimon said to himself, Midachatzav kulehai, since he has so much chutzpah, Shema min Arishiyahu. Well, he's a Rasha. So Amaluhu Tafsuhu. So he, as the DA now, turns to the police and say, okay, grab him. Tafsuhu, they grabbed him. They arrested him. Labasa danach daite. Now Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon did that while he was angry. I know that because the Gemara now says, after he's calmed down, Azo basre lepruke. So now he goes and he tries to be mefarik him, he tries to redeem him, tries to get him out. And again, I can only imagine that he's hearing Rav Yeshua ben Karcha in the back of his mind. V'lamatzi kari alam. I said, V'lamatzi. And he couldn't find him. So kari alam, shomer people, shomer mitzaris nafsho. The person who watches his mouth and his tongue, so is going to be saved from any of his sorrows. So, now I'm not sure who he's castigating. It could be that he's castigating the launderer for calling him Chometz ben Yayin. Could be he's also castigating himself for having said something to the police. Okay. Zakfuhu. So they hung him up. In other words, they literally hung him. Kam tuse zakifa v'kabachi. So now, Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon sees a launderer being hung, and he is crying underneath him. Amr le Rabbi, al ye rabbe einecha. So they say to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, well, don't feel guilty over this. Shehu uveno balu nara marasa b'yom kippurim. Happens to be that this person, together with his son, had relations with an ara marasa on Yom Kippur. And as Rashi points out, so the punishment of Bia with Nara Marasa is Skila. And we know, well, I mean, we knew that. And Rashi points out that after Skila, what do you have is, you have them hanged for the day. In other words, the Torah says, don't leave them hang overnight. In other words, it's basically a way of indicating to the people, let this be a warning to everybody. So what they were trying to explain to him is that min hashamayim, meaning he got what he deserved.
What's the relevance of Yom Kippur?
I don't know. Just the degree of rishus, but
there's no penalty
for that. You're in achinami. Okay, hinich yado me'av. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon puts his hand over his stomach, and Amar sisu b'nei ma'ai sisu, and he has a conversation with his stomach. And he says, rejoice. Meaning basically, in other words, you know, sometimes you feel the anxiety and you feel a churning. And he's basically telling himself, no need for anxiety. Sisu b'nei, may I see sisu. Sorry. Oma asfeko shalachem kach. Look, we weren't sure about this one. And we ended up being right. Vadai shalachem alachas kama v'kama. How much more so over those that we know are bad. I know that you will not succumb to worms and maggots after 120 years. Meaning, don't worry. This is a conversation with the stomach. But still, the truth of the matter is that he was trying to placate himself and it didn't work out. He wasn't really free of anxiety. So he got an anesthesiologist to come over and knocked him out. And they put him in a room that was basically prepared for surgery. And they opened up the stomach of a mafkim and they dekula de tarba, and they extracted some fat. And they put it out in the sun for 2 months in the summer months, and it didn't decompose. The Gemara says, what kind of test was that? Generally speaking, it doesn't decompose. The Gemara says that's true regarding fat. However, shiruki sumke masriach. But over here, you had vessels running through it, and so therefore, it should have gone through some form of decomposition, and it didn't. So here too, even though it had vessels running through it, but still it didn't decompose. Kari anafshe, and he said regarding himself, af b'sari yishkon levetach. So he says that I'm going to be at ease. So again, all this, the extent, the level, the degrees that he went to in order to try to clear himself of the anxiety that he had over these events. And stay tuned. I mean, I say this literally. Stay tuned tomorrow, where you're going to see that he still was not anxiety free.